So thanks very much, Greg. That's always nice to hear these things. I'm sure I fit it all in. So my brief's to talk about trends and challenges for land in the Asia Pacific, and with a specific focus on the relationship between land and shelter. So what I'm proposing to do is just provide a fairly quick overview of things you already know, which are essentially the problems, the challenges. But I do want to identify some specific challenges which then lead into a discussion of potential solutions, responses. And it's one of those areas where people are frightened of land, and I do want to highlight things that could be done in different situations to try and open up the black box of land, because it's a major issue with the with shelter in particular. So, while we wait for it to come up, I just thought I'd start with you some recent sort of statistical material, and we're focusing on Asia, and this is quite a recent bit of data. It goes up to 2012, and the Asia Pacific region, not surprisingly, it's not the highest annual growth rate in the world. That parts of sub-Saharan Africa and the Middle East reach that category, but certainly you can see that these are moderate. And Philippines, it's definitely in the high level, but the rest of the moderate population growth, but coming off a large base. Another one is the urban population. So again, pretty recent data. Australia is a particularly urbanised country. When you look at the Asian region, certainly Malaysia, Singapore, Sabah, Sarawak, Philippines, Northeast Asia, really quite urbanised, China catching up, but in other areas where the rates of urbanisation are not as high. So when we talk about Asia and urbanisation, it's a major issue. But in some areas, it's more acute than others. These are very interesting figures. Again, they're 2012. We know the growth of informal settlements is probably, in urban areas, probably the major shelter challenge we have, particularly when you lay on top of that the effects of climate change and natural disasters. I think the two current examples are certainly the tragedy in Honiara, Solomon Islands, where you have really quite a large area of informal settlements. They're in vulnerable areas close to rivers, on the sides of hillsides where there's been a lot of logging. Tropical depression comes through and more than half the city displaced at the moment. And the other current one is Tacloban City in the Philippines. Informal settlements clustered along the coastline, because that's where they were pushed out. And they're the ones that really copped the brunt of Typhoon Haiyan. The urban issue connects with natural disasters and climate change in a very, very major way. And then I've just put up this data, 7 out of the 10 most populous global cities. So the well-known ones, they're now over 20 million in this sort of super conurbation phenomena. And then 65%, and Greg mentioned the other figures, 120,000 housing requirements. What's interesting to me is that the suggestion is that, we've got around 900 million urban informal settlers in the world at the moment. That's roughly seems to be about the estimate. But the statistics on the nature of their land tenure are very poor. We're assuming, by and large, that if you're categorised as an informal settler, that you do not have recognised legal rights to that land, which is one of the major problems in terms of making them more resilient, improving livelihoods, reducing poverty. But the statistics we have, and the most recent ones I could find is 2002, they just seem to be lagging terribly. I mean, this notion that only 2.1% are squatters in the Asia Pacific just doesn't sit with the figures for informal settlements that I just showed. So, you know, I think we do have a problem with data collection on the land tenure front. And the other issue I wanted to mention apart from urbanisation is the notion of, quote, land grabbing, the phenomenon of foreign investors getting very large concessions over agricultural land. And as we know, Cambodia is the poster child in the region for the granting of economic land concessions over agricultural areas. More than half of the total arable land now subject to economic land concessions. And so what you get is a dynamic where increasingly people who are displaced as a result of this phenomenon move to the cities. That the movement tends to take place through pathways of poverty and also kinship relations. So the people who move from poor areas tend to move into informal settlements because that's where their kin are. And we need to understand the dynamics of the rural-urban migration and how it affects this huge numbers of people who lack legally recognised rights to their land. And again, another thing I wanted to point out, this is a very good site, this one for the land grabbing. It's not complete data. They rely on people to send in information on land deals. But the extent to which the agricultural land concessions that have been granted are for non-food purposes. So, again, you've got a food security issue but then combining with rural-urban migration and the other phenomena that I've mentioned. If you want to stop me at any stage and ask about these statistics, I'm doing them quite quickly, but the presentation will be available with the organisers.